In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some Christians reject the infallibility of the Pope, but accept without any problem the infallibility of the Council of Nicaea, for example. They all believe that God uses fallible and sinful men to communicate His infallible truth in God's Word. Now, infallibility does not mean that the Pope is infallible in everything he says, but only when he speaks of things of faith and morals, with all his authority as a representative of Christ, and wants to impose a truth to be believed by the whole church. Otherwise, he is not infallible, and much less when he talks about things of astronomy or science. A king, for example, can write many letters, but only those that he officially promulgates with the character of law are those that are binding to be respected by all. Thus, the Pope can speak or write in private or in public, but as long as he does not want to impose a truth with all his authority on the whole church, he is not infallible. Also, infallibility does not mean impeccability. There have been and may be sinful popes, as was Peter, but this does not take away his authority. On the other hand, the fact that the Word of God is not interpreted by itself requires an authority to be able to determine infallibly the interpretation of some particular points. And just as the constitution of a country needs to be interpreted by its government or by competent authorities, thus the Word of God must be interpreted with a guarantee of truth, and without doubts, by an authority external to it. This authority is what Christ gave Peter by giving him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Feed my lambs. John chapter 21, verses 15 to 16. I have prayed for you so that your faith is not wrong and you strengthen your brothers. Luke chapter 22, verse 32. St. Augustine of Hippo said, Roma locuta causa finita est, meaning in English, if Rome, the Pope, has spoken, the question is over, to indicate that the Pope is the one who has the last word. And this can be verified by history, for when difficulties happened between the clergy and the people of Corinth in the year 95, they did not turn to any apostle to solve them. Let's remember that St. John the Apostle still lived in Ephesus. They went to the Pope in Rome, and Pope Clement wrote them two letters to definitively solve the problem. There is an issue that often comes up when someone wants to speak out against the infallibility of the Pope. It is the so-called question of Pope Honorius I, a unique case in the history of the popes. In the 7th century, the question was raised whether Jesus Christ had one or two wills. If when he acted with human will or with the two wills, corresponding to the two natures. Pope Honorius I, who was pope from the year 625 to 638, received one day a letter from Patriarch Sergius I of Constantinople, urging him to take a position in the controversy between the Patriarch Cyrus of Alexandria, a supporter of a single will, and the monk St. Sophronius of Jerusalem, a supporter that Jesus, a divine person, acted with both wills in a moral unity. Pope Honorius I wrote to him, saying that only one Jesus Christ acted in both natures the works of divinity and humanity. The worst thing was that he silenced the monk St. Sophronius of Jerusalem, who held the true doctrine of the two wills. Then, Sergius I of Constantinople considered that he supported the doctrine which he held of a single will, and the heresy spread, and many bishops were infected with it. The matter reached the Third Council of Constantinople, which happened in the year 680 to 681, where Pope Honorius I was condemned as a heretic, and the same was done by the next two ecumenical councils. But first of all, no council has the authority to convict anyone without the authorization of the reigning pope. Second, the pope never affirmed the heretical doctrine of the one will of Christ. In his two letters to Sergius I of Constantinople, he expounds the correct doctrine, but in an ambiguous and equivocal way, which created a reason to believe that he was a heretic. Furthermore, these two letters were private letters and not solemn doctrine. They did not have all the authority to be considered infallible. For this reason, Pope St. Leo II, who was pope from 681 to 683, from the time of the Third Council of Constantinople, said, Honorius I did not extinguish the flame of heresy as it suited his authority, but through his negligence he fostered it. Thus, he acknowledges that he was not heretic, but reckless. He could be sinful, irresponsible, or incapable, but not a heretic. For some years after Honorius I, the popes had to swear to reject the heresy, the ferment of which Honorius I had introduced. In 1870, at the First Vatican Council, when it was desired to define the infallibility of the pope, this problem came up again. But it was clearly determined that the pope is infallible only when he speaks ex cathedra, that is, from the chair, with all his authority, with the intention of imposing a truth to be believed as such by all the faithful. This was not the case in the two letters written by Honorius I to Sergius I of Constantinople. Today, everyone agrees that Honorius I was not a heretic, for what he says in his two letters is perfectly orthodox. He speaks of a unity of wills in Jesus Christ, referring to a moral unity of the two existing wills in Jesus. For this reason, it was possible to define papal infallibility with complete tranquility as a dogma of faith. And we can affirm without any doubt that no pope in history was wrong to speak solemnly with all his authority on matters of faith and morals, and that all the popes, even sinners, illuminated the church with the light of truth revealed by God. Perhaps God allowed this case of Honorius I to make his providence over the church more palpable and thus reaffirm the authority of the pope. Many thanks for watching the video. Please also take a moment to enjoy these 99 Catholics videos, which share related content about our faith. And also help to support our channel by becoming a member. Details are in the description box below. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.